James chapter 1. Do you ever need something and not realize you need it until you have it? I needed to hear that song this morning. And not because I was downhearted, not because anything's wrong. I just needed to hear that song. What a blessing. It is well with my soul. That is my prayer for everyone present. If you don't know Jesus Christ as your Savior, it's not well with your soul. But if you do, you know this life is not all there is. That there's a place prepared for you and all those who love the Lord, eternal in the heavens, that'll never fade away. It won't be the government of man, not a democracy, not a dictatorship of a man. But beloved, one of these days we will live and serve the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords, Jesus Christ. It is well with my soul. Would you stand with me as we read from the book of James? And we're going to talk today about practical faith is a faith that is proven. James chapter 1 and verse 12. Blessed is the man who endures temptation, for when he is approved, he will receive the crown of life which the Lord has promised to those who love him. Let no one say when he is tempted, I'm tempted by God, for God cannot be tempted by evil. Nor does he himself tempt anyone. But each one is tempted when he is drawn away by his own desires and enticed. Then, when desire has conceived, it gives birth to sin. And sin, when it is full grown, brings forth death. Do not be deceived, my beloved brethren. Every good gift and every perfect gift is from above, and comes down from the Father of lights, with whom there is no variation or shadow of turning. Of his own will, he brought us forth by the word of truth, that we might be a kind of first fruits of his creatures. So then, my beloved brethren, let every man be swift to hear, slow to speak, slow to wrath. For the wrath of man does not produce the righteousness of God. Again, let us pray. Our Father in heaven, we love you and we praise you for the guidance of your word. Open now our hearts to your word. Take your word and implant it deep within us that it might be life-changing, that we might be made better, more mature, more useful servants in your sight. Lord, we love you and we praise you, for you are a wonderful God. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. You may be seated. Blessed is the man who endures temptation. That word endure means to stand one's ground, to refuse to be moved. When approved, that man shall receive a crown of life. That word a crown is diadem. It's royalty crown. You do realize, and what I want you to get today, first of all, is it is worth the fight. God will not leave you out there on your own. He's not going to just say, well, you did your job. As we fight the battles of this world and this life, God is keeping track. And beloved, I believe there's a reward system set up in heaven that will make everything else that you can imagine pale in comparison. So how are we going to fight these fights? How are we going to win these battles? First thing you need to know is you need to know what God's desire is for you. And I want you to read this today a little differently. I want you to read it, God's desire for me. I want it to be very personal for you. This isn't about how we apply this to those folks or the folks up there. It's about how I apply God's word to me. So everything in this message today belongs to me, right? And I'm going to let you apply it to you and look at it from that perspective. Amen? Can we do that? All right. I want you to understand, first of all, God's desire for me. And that is, I am not tempted by God. Do not blame God for the troubles that you're enduring or having to endure. Do not blame God. God is not up in heaven being this great, gigantic killjoy looking down on you and saying, boy, I just can't wait to pour out more trouble on that boy or that girl. As a matter of fact, God does not tempt anyone. But He does allow us to fight the battles of this life. All right? I recall as a parent, one of the hardest things that I had to get used to when my children were at home was letting them fight their battles. As a parent, as a dad, the first thing for the response for me when my kids were having trouble is to, I'm the dad. I need to move in there and I need to fix the problem. Well, they didn't need me to fix the problem. They needed to learn how to fix the problem for themselves. Just like that, God allows you and I to fight battles on this earth. Because it helps us to grow up, to become responsible and mature Christians. If you fix for your child everything in their life, you know what they'll grow up to be? Spoiled little entitled brats that can't function in society. Amen. Okay? And I say that with love, realizing that none of our children are that way. Amen? Well, we're the same way. God has afforded us the privilege and the opportunity to fight these battles. But at the same time, as we fight, we know we're never alone. God is there not fighting for us. He's fighting with us, empowering us. That's why He says, put on the whole armor of God that you may be able to withstand the attacks of Satan. He's given us the equipment. He's given us everything we need to be victorious. But never blame God for the troubles in your life. Okay? It's not God that's doing it. God's allowing it. I will admit, God's allowing you to go through this test. But you read in the Bible, Adam and Eve. God did not tempt Adam and Eve. He simply directed them. He gave them a command. And this was a command of love. Don't hurt yourself. Then Satan come along and says, God doesn't want you to be happy. Eat that forbidden fruit. And they did. And they hurt themselves. It was Satan that dangled that bait before them. Look at men like Job. God didn't say, oh look, Job's got it too easy. I'm gonna thump him on the top of the head. Then Satan was jealous and said, well, God, the only reason Job serves you is because you're so good to him. God said, no, he loves me. So we know the story of how Job was tempted. We know the story of Jesus. Jesus, the Son of God. The Son of God was tempted for 40 days and 40 nights. Not by His Father, but by His archenemy, Satan. Peter was told Satan desires to have you that he may sift you as wheat. What am I trying to get across? We have these battles. God allows us to fight these battles. But do not ever back up and blame God for the trouble that you're going through. It's not God. Okay? It's not God. Instead, I want you to realize that you are treasured. I am treasured by God. How does God really feel about you? Well, He feels this way, okay? Every good gift, every perfect gift is from above and comes down from the Father of lights, with whom there is no variation or shadow of turning. Every good thing in your life came from God. God's desire for you is that you have the very best that He has and that this life has to offer. And when I say that, I'm not talking about this get-rich Christianity thing. I'm talking about the very best. The very best often can't be bought by money, okay? God wants you to have His very best. For example, let's talk about these gifts. You know one of the gifts of God that He gives is marriage. Come on, husbands, that was your opportunity and you absolutely blew it. Wives, get them when they get home, okay? One of God's great gifts is marriage. Oh, come on, you're not that slow. One of God's greatest gifts is marriage.
Amen.
Goodness gracious. I'm glad Beth's not here today. I mean, think about it. One man, one woman for a lifetime. Okay? And you know what? It works. I know sometimes they get on our nerves. Sometimes we get on their nerves. But I want to tell you what. It's a joy to go home and know that my spouse is at home waiting for me. To lay down at night and know that my wife is there with me. To get up in the morning, my wife is there with me. And that she's there with me to fight these battles that I have to fight in this life. What a gift of God. I want to grow old together. You know? There's something about that. When we first started dating, I tried to impress her. I don't think I ever made it, but now I want to grow old with her, you know? Because there's a blessing there of maturing together and fighting these battles together. But see, there's a problem. There's old Satan out there. God has given us something good, and then Satan has tried to pervert God's goodness. Okay? Marriage was never intended to be two men. Two women. One man, five women. One woman, five men. You get the point. God made it, and He made it good, and He made it so that it works. And Satan has perverted it and destroyed it. And the amazing thing is, look at the outcome. One man, one woman, it just works. You grow old together and, you know, arm in arm, and everybody's happy. There's nothing sweeter than to celebrate a 50th wedding anniversary. But you look at the rest that allowed Satan to pervert the good gift of God. And look where it leads them. Oftentimes it's old and alone. Yeah? As you look and married men and women are unfaithful to one another, and you just know this is not going to turn out good. And they make those bad choices, and it destroys them, it destroys their children, it destroys their family, it destroys everything. That's not God. God wants to give you the good things like marriage. God wants to give you the good things like love. Now, I'd really rather love than to be angry. How about you? I mean, loving is so much more fun. Just to look at you, be glad that you're here and shake one another's hands and hug one another's hands. It's fun to love one another. It's enjoyable to love one another. But I want to tell you what, sometimes Satan gets in that too. And he plants seeds of bitterness, anger, strife. See, Satan's messing up what God says here. Enjoy this good gift that I give. And we can go down the list. Faith, hope, opportunities of service. Go over to the book of Matthew chapter 5 and read about the Beatitudes. Blessed is the man. You know, God has given us things, and He says, look, here's where the joy of your life is. I want you to have my best, is what God says. But there is a problem. The problem is my desire for me. You see, God has a desire for me, and that desire is for my good. And there's a desire that I have for me that does not always fit into God's desire. I want you to think just a moment about where these trials and these temptations actually come from. James says that we're tempted when we're drawn away by our own desires. That word drawn away means to drag away with initial reluctance. Now, I want you to get this picture in your mind. Okay? You know something's wrong. You know I shouldn't do it. And on the inside, that voice, the Holy Spirit of God, says, no, 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 turn, go the other way. But you see it over there, and oh, it looks so good. I'll just get a little closer. But I'm not going to get involved. I'll just get a little closer. The closer I get, the better it looks. For example, adultery. For example, the party crowd among our youth. Sexual immorality, whatever it may be. But we're drawn away, drug away out of what we know to be right and enticed. That word enticed means to bait. People like to fish. Some people like to fish. That word enticed is the same word you would use to describe the bait that you use to place in front of the nose of a fish. I want to tell you something. Satan does not make you do anything, but he sure does make it look really good. That's what happened. He baits you. He baits you. Oh, it looks so good. But here's the disturbing part. I'm drawn away by my own desire. The craving, the longing inside. It's inside me that's the problem. It's not society. You know, we blame society for the drugs and the alcohol and the sexual perversion and everything that's wrong. It's not society. It's inside me. It's my heart. It comes from the evil inside me that desires, when I see it, to be drawn in that direction. Jeremiah 17:9 says this, the heart is deceitful above all things and desperately wicked. And who can know it? We can play like we don't have these evil desires, or we can pretend. But beloved, deep down inside, we know we have a sin nature that we have to continually fight. Got to fight. You say, even you, preacher? You betcha. Even me. David. David is described as a man after God's own heart. I mean, it doesn't say that about anybody else in the whole Bible. A man after God's own heart. And you look back at the life of David. He was in Jerusalem when he should have been off at battle. But he was in Jerusalem lounging, if you will, as the king. And he looked over on the rooftop and he saw this beautiful woman, Bathsheba, bathing on the rooftop. You know what David did? He had a choice to make. He could have covered his eyes, turned the other way, and got out of there, which is what you better do, by the way, men. This is where you say amen, men. All right? When somebody sends something on your computer that's inappropriate, hit delete, get out of there as quick as you can. But I want to tell you something. Young men, old men, women, do I have everybody's attention? Do I have everybody's attention? This message will go a lot quicker if y'all amen me, okay? Do I have everybody's attention?
Amen.
Men, women, boys, girls, old and young, you cannot unsee something you have seen. You open a smut book, that visual will be with you the rest of your life. You get on internet porn, that will be with you the rest of your life. You cannot get rid of it. That's why I say, when it appears, close your eyes, turn the other direction. Because we have that sin nature. David, a man after God's own heart, he saw Bathsheba bathing upon a rooftop. David, being the man after God's own heart, but he was a man. He sat there and looked and watched. And then he sent his servants to have them bring her to him. He slept with Bathsheba because he lusted after her. Bathsheba became pregnant. And the story just gets deeper and deeper. And David sent her home and tried to act like it didn't happen. And she sends words to him, King David, I'm pregnant. You see how sin just builds, gets worse and worse. King David, I'm pregnant. David says, oh no, what am I going to do? I got to get this. I got to cover this up. Everybody's going to know. Everybody's going to know I have messed up. So he sends for her husband, Uriah, who's at the battlefront, at the front of the battle, fighting for Israel. And he brings him home and gets a report on the battle. He says, oh, go home, be with your wife. And Uriah said, I can't go home. While my comrades at arms are out there fighting for the nation of Israel, I can't go home. David says, what am I going to do? Finally, David sent him back and he sent a letter with him. Said, put this guy on the front line so that he'll die. Put him on the front line, withdraw the troops so that he'll be killed. Sure enough, that's what they did. David had a man killed. You know what that's called? Murder. This was a man after God's own heart. Who would have ever thought a man after God's own heart like David could do such horrible things? You see, we come to church quite often and we act like, oh, you know, I'm a believer, I'm a church member, it'll never happen to me. Oh, but wait a minute. It can happen to you and to me. That's why we've got to be ready to fight. We've got to be ready to take a stand, realizing that there are desires in me that should not be there. Desires in me that I will not turn loose. Desires in me that I will not allow Satan to take. Because see, there's an outcome or a consequence to my transgression. Oh, listen, my friends. We read, when desire has conceived, it gives birth to sin. When sin is full grown, it brings forth death. That word death, we think, okay, because we're sinners, we're all going to die. It's deeper than that. That word death means to deliver a death blow or a deadly blow. Bringing you to that point where, oh man, things are bad, you know. It's like it's not just a tap. It's when you've been hit hard. Well, let me tell you about old David. Old David, he thinks he's got it all covered up. Her husband's dead. He takes Bathsheba as his own wife and everything is good. But down in David's heart, he knows. He meets his friends and his buddies and his chief advisors and everything's good, but down in his heart, he knows. He even sees the man of God, old Nathan, from time to time. Everything's good, but deep down in his heart, he knows. Till finally, one day, God spoke to Nathan, said, go to David and tell him. So Nathan comes to David. Nathan, the prophet, comes to David. And he says to David, David, I want to tell you a story. And this story is a story of two men. One man was rich and he had flocks galore. But then there was this poor man. Didn't have very much. As a matter of fact, he only had one sheep. And this poor man loved that sheep. One day, a visitor came to the rich man's house. And the rich man, fulfilling his hospitality requirement, he needs to feed this rich man. And he has the opportunity to go to his own flocks where, and he could have taken one and never have missed a lamb to feed this man. But this rich man looked at his flocks and he refused to take from his own flock. And he goes over to the poor man and he takes the poor man's one little lamb that he has. That he loves so much. And he takes that lamb and he butchers it and he feeds it to this traveler, this visitor that's coming through. boy David became red in the face. He became filled with anger. And he said, "Nathan, who is this man? He will surely die." And Nathan looked at David and said, "David, you're the guy. That's you." I believe it was at that moment that all that cover up and all that pretending and, you know, all that David's past becomes or comes rushing, flooding back. And he stands there. Have you ever had that cold feeling in the bottom of the pit of your stomach and you just, "It is me. It is me. It is me. I'm that guy." David realizes, "Man, I've done a terrible thing." And it goes on, and you read the life of David, and you know what the result was? Well, the first son of David and Bathsheba became sick. Oh, David poured out his heart to God. "God, please don't take my son. Please don't take my son." And that son died. As they say, you reap what you sow. Oh, but it didn't stop there. You see, after that, David had another son with another wife. It wasn't with Bathsheba, but he had a son named Amnon and a daughter named Tamar. Tamar was a beautiful lady, apparently, and the Bible says that Amnon loved his sister. Now, you know, this is a brother and sister. This is wrong. It's called incest. But he loved her so much that he lured her into his home and he raped her. I could imagine the shame of David as he heard the news. How that his son had shamed his daughter. But see, there was another brother, and this brother's name was Absalom. And oh, when Absalom heard about it, it made him furious. So he lures Amnon out to a feast. And he kills Amnon. Boy, you see how the dominoes just continue to fall? Folks, that's what sin does. Then David heard about his death of his son Amnon. Then his son Absalom, a little later on, he begins to try to take the throne from David and depose his father and become king himself. More dominoes are falling. And David, it came to the point where David has to flee out of Jerusalem because Absalom and his men are coming and he knows he's going to be killed, and so they flee. And make the drama a little shorter. Ultimately, what happens is David's men find Absalom hanging from a tree. Absalom was riding his horse and he got his hair caught in a tree. And the horse continued on and left Absalom hanging from his hair. Now David said, "I don't care what you've got to do. Don't hurt my boy Absalom. He's still my son. I want him to be alive." So they found Absalom hanging from that tree. And guess what David's men did? They killed him. David cried, "Oh, Absalom, Absalom. Oh, that I had died and not you, Absalom." You know where all this come from? It came from David falling into sin. You see, my friend, what I want you to realize today, and I'm not pointing fingers at anybody. I don't know what's going on in anybody's life. I'm just yelling out the warning today. God desires your best. But there's an evil desire within mankind that if you are not careful, Satan will bait you
and destroy all that you are and sometimes all that you ever will be. That's why these messages are so very important. That's why these messages are so very vital. So, brings us to the last point. What do I have to do to be successful? How do I fight this battle? Well, number one, you've got to be swift to hear. You see, we take 19 and 20 and we isolate these verses and we say, that just means you're supposed to keep your mouth shut and that's very simplistic and shallow. These verses were given in relation to what we just covered. Okay? When he says, so then, my beloved brethren, let every man be swift to hear. He's saying, this is your avenue of defense. The idea is learn how to listen. Do you know how to listen? Do you know how to listen to God? That's the idea. You know, every once in a while God speaks. I can guarantee you, when David was looking at Bathsheba as she was bathing on the rooftop, that the Spirit of God was speaking inside David saying, no, David, uh-uh. Turn around. Look the other way, David. No, David. No, David. No, David. I guarantee you. And I promise you, when David sent for Bathsheba, the Spirit of God was said, stay away, David. Stay away. Stay away. And when David slept with Bathsheba, I have no doubt the Spirit of God was within him. Now, quenched it was. But the Spirit of God was in him saying, David, please don't. You see, what I'm suggesting to you today is God's people need to learn how to listen to God because God does speak. Okay? And we're afraid to say things like that, afraid they'll label us as some religious wacko person. No, I want you to know God speaks. Okay? He speaks to your heart, and people can label us any way they want to label us, okay? God is real. He's living inside of you if you are His child, and He speaks. He says, no. And those things that are good, you know what He's saying? He's saying, yes, help yourself. Help yourself to happiness. What we've got to do is we've got to learn how to listen. We've got to learn how to read God's Word, not just as I read through the Bible or I've read 10 chapters daily for the last 5 years, but we've got to learn how to read the Bible saying, how does this apply to me? Where do I fit into here? Swift to hear as the Holy Spirit of God speaks to you through the Word of God. We've got to be slow to speak. I think that just goes very closely with swift to hear. God says, shut up and listen to me. Have you ever looked at the Word of God and said, you know, I don't really like that too much? If you haven't, you haven't read enough of the Word of God. Because sometimes it strikes a little close to home. God says, slow to speak. What is He talking about here? Well, it's more than just don't have a big mouth. It's that because you've heard from God, you should be speaking the things of God. Did you know that speaking to you should be like hearing from God? 1 Peter 4:11. If anyone speaks, let him speak as of the oracles of God. Now, I know, you know, we're going to have conversations. Hi, how you doing? Hope things are going. I understand that. But as a rule, when you're dealing with people, When you're dealing with your kids and they're looking for maturity and wisdom from mom and dad, your kids need to hear from you, and it needs to be the kind of word that would come from the Word of God. Okay? It needs to be more than just, I think. It needs to be, well, here's what God would have you to do. 2 Timothy 4:12. Let no man despise your youth. Paul wrote to young Timothy, but be thou an example of believers in word and in conversation, in charity, in spirit, in faith, in purity. Slow to speak. Okay, I want to tell you something. To have your attention, everybody's attention. Everybody's attention. Facebook is not an avenue for you to vent bitterness toward other people. It's not. You know what the world needs to see on Facebook is godly conversation. Okay? They need to be able to look at your post on Facebook and feel like they have heard a message from God. The more I'm getting less and less the more I look at Facebook, and it's because there's so much negative. When it could be an avenue of encouragement. Now, listen, if you're going to spew bitterness on Facebook, just do me the favor and defriend me or unfriend me or whatever it is you do on Facebook, okay? Because I don't want to read it. Daily conversation. Daily conversation is not the place for the world to see bitterness, that evil that is inside. You know, how many of you have been irritated at somebody? Will you raise your hand? That's not a license to attack. Well, Brother Doug, you don't understand what they said about me. It don't matter what they said about you. It does not. Your job is to speak as if the oracles of God, as if they hear from you, they have heard from God. Okay? Wouldn't it be wonderful if we would live like that? Think before you speak. Before you lash out, consider the consequences. Then finally, slow to wrath. Now that word, yeah, we're all human. We all become angry on occasion, don't we? If you become angry, say amen. Amen. This is more than anger. This is revenge and retribution. Your revenge, your anger, and acting out of that anger, get this, will never produce the righteousness of God. Never. Somebody's done me wrong. I do not have the right to revenge. Why? That's God's job. That's God's job. Can I talk to them? Yes. I can speak to them. Can I share with them? Yes. But the conversation better be one of, I love you. And we better be willing to allow God to take care of it. Romans 12:19, beloved, do not avenge yourself, but rather give place to wrath, for it is written, vengeance is mine. I will repay, says the Lord. You are not God. It's not your job to get even. Brother Doug, I've been hurt. I've been hurt deeply. I understand that. Welcome to ministry. It happens. If it doesn't happen in ministry, it'll happen in your family. If it doesn't happen in your family, it'll happen at work. You're going to get hurt. Look, you're going to be tempted. You're going to have these battles to fight. It's not a question of if. It's a matter of when. And the point of this entire message is when it comes, how are you going to respond? A way that will glorify the God that you love? Or in a way that will cause the world to look at you and say, if that's what Christianity is, I don't want any part of it. Beloved, we serve an awesome God. We do. And a Savior who hung upon the cross of Calvary, endured the mocking, the nails, the crown of thorns, the suffering. He endured it all. And you know what He said as He hung there? Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do. You may say, Brother Doug, I've been hurt bad. You've not been hurt as bad as Jesus. Do not put yourself on that level. Okay? It's your place. It's my place. I said in the beginning, we've got to view this personally, right? So I'm going to quit saying your. It's my place. It's my place to love when love is hard. To fight the battle when I don't want to fight the battle. To be sure that when people hear from me, they have indeed heard from God. That's why we're here. That's what we're about. If you're here today, you don't know Jesus Christ as your Savior. Oh, listen. You're going through a war zone unarmed. You look around at this world. Oh, it's a tough place. Beloved, it's a difficult place. You look at what's going on, the political unrest, the social unrest, the immorality. And I mean, it's tough. You can't do this alone. And besides that, at the end of this life, you know what? You're going to die. And there's one of two places that you're going to spend eternity. It's either heaven or it's hell. Okay? The choice is yours. Heaven, choose Jesus. Hell, make no choice. Okay? Beloved, today's the day to do business with God. If you need to be saved, this invitation's for you. If you need help fighting the battle, if you need counsel, come to one of us up front. Brother Doug, Brother Michael, Brother Greg. I'm fighting a battle. I just need somebody to pray with me. If you need to share that battle, whatever you need. But if you're fighting the battle, don't give up and don't give in. If you're not fighting the battle, you better gird up your loins, as the Bible says, because it's coming. You'll have your opportunity. I love you. Let's put on the armor of God and let's fight for truth and righteousness. Our Father in heaven, thank you. Thank you, Lord, for your word. Lord, as I read it, it's convicting to me. I'm reminded that we all have a sin nature that we have to battle. Father, help us to fight it. Help us to not allow it to go unchecked and to run rampant. Father, move in this congregation this morning. Help us, Lord, to speak as though the oracles of God. Help us be swift to hear from you and always listening, seeking you in every situation in life. And Father, I pray that you'll never allow us to be controlled by anger, bitterness, and revenge, whether it be in this church or outside this church, because our wrath does not produce your righteousness. Now, Lord, I pray your will be done. In Jesus' name.